Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
On our Christmas flyers, it says, in little gold writing, it says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. That's from Isaiah chapter 9. That's where we're going to be for the next few weeks. If you've been in church any length of time, those words, some of them at least, will be very familiar to you. To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I've been really inspired by these words over the last two or three weeks preparing for Christmas. I've seen things which I've never seen before. It's come to me in a real freshness. And we're going to be, just today, we're going to look at this whole passage. And then we're going to dive into a few little bits of it in a lot more detail. But today, I just want to show you the glory and wonder of this passage that was written like 750 odd years before Jesus. Okay, just get that into your head. That's a long time, isn't it? A long, long time before Jesus. And yet, it speaks with such eloquence about the Saviour. So, but you've got to start with the bad news, all right? From gloom to glory. First of all, I want us to look at the depth of the gloom facing these people 750 odd years before Jesus. It says in verse 1, nevertheless, there'll be no more gloom. Okay, so that must make you think straight away. Okay, so something's changing. So this is the bit that we read, that's the hope, okay? But there is distress for the people. All right, so the previous chapter, in fact, the previous eight chapters, there's a lot of gloominess. There's a lot of trouble. What we read today is the message of hope, but the first eight chapters, there's a lot of doom and despair, honestly. And if you've got a Bible with you, just flick over to chapter 8, verse 19. You'll see one of the things that Isaiah says to the people, it turns out that some of them have gone away from the Lord and they've turned instead to the occult. They've turned to mediums and spiritists, as Isaiah puts it. You know what? I did some Googling this week, and it turns out there are no less than five businesses devoted to the occult within 1 mile of this church building. Did you know that? Five. And one of them is a massive warehouse with a turnover of like nearly £20 million last year that is devoted to the distribution of occult stuff. I won't tell you exactly where. And just to be clear, like that doesn't make me afraid in any sense, okay? I'm totally unfazed by that, all right? With the Lord Jesus by your side, you